We bumping that smooth jazz version of City Lights. That's my dude, Rashad Maybell. We got something called the Mink Slide Challenge. People do dances and music renditions of Mink Slide songs. A lot of folks like this one. This brother killed this one right here. Man, so what's going on, family? Glad to have y'all in here tonight, ready to chop up game. Today's show is brought to you by the Objective News Agency. That's a new black media outlet up there in Canada, and they're on a street level having a battle for the truth. The Objective is gritty, documentary-style investigative news agency that covers all types of issues affecting black society. Their website is theobjective.ca. Check them out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TheObjectiveNS. All right? And also check out their Indiegogo page, The Objective News Agency, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, what we're going to do, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. Don't go nowhere. Let everybody know that we're here. Let everybody know we're here chopping up game. Don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, go to YouTube and check out the new YouTube channel called Tough Love Dating. Now, Tough Love Dating, that's a channel that teaches men how to navigate through the dating world by being more alpha. It teaches you how to be more masculine, and it teaches you how to get your money right. So again, go to Tough Love Dating right now and subscribe on YouTube right now and step your game up. What's up, family? If you make music and you're serious about your craft, then you need to go online and visit my friends over at LegendaryMix.com. They have the experience you need to get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the boards, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional audio mixing and mastering for a great price and a fast turnaround time. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com and receive a discount link and free music marketing ebook. So don't hesitate. Get started right now. Visit legendarymix.com or send a text to 347-565-5892 or shoot them an email at music@legendarymix.com. Yo, what's up, family? Check out Void Beast on Kickstarter. Now, Void Beast, that is a comic book by our brother Matthew Jones. Void Beast is a supernatural action adventure about a hero named TJ. TJ learns how to use his new powers before the main antagonist comes to take him down. So you need to go to Kickstarter, support the brother's comic book. That's Void Beast on Kickstarter, and follow my brother on Instagram at AKACHIJONES. Void Beast, check it out. Do you need a personalized website to sell your products? You're tired of phony web designers claiming they can build your website to sell you a product? Well, come to astrowebnet.com. They have everything you need to open up your own online store. You don't need technical skills to build a successful web store. Their quick shopping cart makes it easy to create an eye-catching store that accepts credit cards, integrate with Google, eBay, and it offers multiple shipping options. So you can do all of this with no setup fees. So go right now to astrowebnet.com. That's astrowebnet.com. What's up, family? You need to check out blackstarsurvival.com right now. Black Star Survival, they offer first aid kits, survival kits, body armor, and many, many more items aimed at helping the Melanoid family prepare and survive disasters, emergencies, and much, much more. So this site is a must. You have to go to blackstarsurvival.com. Again, that's blackstarsurvival.com. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. King Flex Entertainment proudly presents Mid Slide Live in Concert. Coming to the Center Stage Theater in Atlanta, Saturday, December 22nd, 2018, 7:30 p.m. Mid Slide is bringing the funk party to Atlanta, performing songs from their critically acclaimed album, Egyptian Musk. Performing special guest, the APX. Atlanta, don't miss the fun party, concert event of the year. Get your tickets to see Mink Slide live in concert with special guest, the APX, at Ticketmaster.com. For more information, go to MinkSlide.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered! Yo, we're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Ready to chop up some good game with the family. I'm here, ready to make it do what it do. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some brand new North Sentinel Island University shirts. We started selling these things today. They are flying off the shelves. Everybody loves the new North Sentinel Island University shirts. I said on my post, I post on Instagram and Facebook, I said, this is my alma mater. And it is to a certain degree. As our brother Neely Fuller says, the universe is a university. That's why it's called the universe, and that's why universities are called universities. The world and the universe is your school. You're supposed to learn from what's going on in the world. And I learn from the North Sentinelese brothers and sisters. So that's my school right there. And we're giving them sonic energy to let them know that we got people on the outside world who's rocking with them, and we want to see them survive. We want to see them do their thing, and we rock with them. So you guys can get your North Sentinel Island shirts at HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm live right here on YouTube. There, I think we got some trolls in the room. I haven't seen them yet, but my moderators, I need y'all to get on that. If you're in the room, I need you to do your thing. If you're up, I know it's late, but we are up and we are here. We got a few things we're going to talk about tonight. A lot of good game we're going to chop up tonight. Before I get into that, let me look at a couple of stories that's happening. Did y'all see there was a story down in Atlanta, I think. This little 18-year-old black dude. This 18-year-old dude, little old fat kid. This dude had a hell of a finesse going on. This dude was finessing like millions of dollars using tax refunds. It was something that this dude did, but he had already got like a few thousand dollars, like $18,000 in cash here, $18,000 this. This dude was getting all this money. He was getting it in cash somehow. And he was buying all these cars and shit. Little 18-year-old dude, little fat boy. And the finesse got a little too good to him. And this is the problem. My nigga tried to hit a $20 million lick. He did something with the IRS where he created a corporation and all this stuff. And they were supposed to give him a $20,000 check. I mean a $20 million check. And that's when they went in and got him up out the spot. And I respect the finesse. I don't know what this brother did. It was, my brother had a lot of ingenuity for a young dude to know how to finesse like that. And I'm not encouraging anybody to use their skills to finesse, but the fact that he had that type of ingenuity and he knew how to work the system that way, that's a smart dude. We need that brother doing some constructive things. I gotta respect the finesse, though. And ain't nothing wrong with that, because they do it in white society. They respect the finesses. They do movies about them, like that Catch Me If You Can. This white man was finessing everybody. He was finessing the lawyer, the bar association, airlines. This dude was pretending to be a pilot, a lawyer, everything. And they revel in that. They made a movie about that with Leonardo DiCaprio. So my dude, I got to take my hat off to his finesse. My man, you know, he kind of overplayed his hand a little bit. He had to understand, you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio character, the dude who Leo was playing, he had the white card, which would let him get away with a lot of shit. When they see this little young brother, and my nigga just looked, you know, like a regular kid, you walk up in a bank trying to cash a $20 million check, they're going to call somebody on your ass. You dig? So I wish my man kind of stepped up that dress code a little bit when he was finessing. See, that's the thing. You got to look the part sometimes, and y'all better stop buying all them cars, man. Y'all better, you know, kind of flip that shit into something legit before you start upgrading the finesse. You dig? But I digress. Y'all look up the story about this cat finessing. I think it was down there in Atlanta. So today's show, family, I want to talk about the racial sleight of hand tactics that a lot of the white supremacists like to use on black people. We got to understand their deception tactics and their sleight of hand tactics that they use against us. Black people, we have to get into the mindset that we're being gamed 24 hours a day by the mayonnaise militia. That's something that we have to accept. Black people do not understand the level of finesse, speaking of finesse, that the white supremacists use against black people. They sit up cooking up ways to con us, to hustle us, to lie to us, to deceive us, to have us working against our own interest. They do this all the time. Black people really have to grasp that concept. And one thing they do, they like to deny white supremacy racism all day. They go out of their way to deny racism. Just like with this case with Kareem Hunt, they keep trying to ignore the fact that that white supremacist woman was outside of his door yelling, nigga, 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 nigga. They keep going out of their way to deny it or minimize it or ignore it. They love doing that. Any type of white supremacist racism against black people, they go out of their way to ignore that. Even with the OJ trial, they love ignoring Mark Furman. Mark Furman is something they try to brush under the rug. You cannot brush him under the rug. That's where the term race card came from. Pointing out white supremacy is the race card. And they try to make that a pejorative. It's not a pejorative. You should point out white supremacy, and you should do whatever you can to eradicate systematic white supremacy. And they love denying white supremacy, minimizing white supremacy, dismissing white supremacy. The other day was Walt Disney's birthday, I think. And they go out of their way to ignore and deny Walt Disney's racism. Walt Disney was a very racist white supremacist. the man who created Disney and Mickey Mouse and all that, Walt Disney was racist as fuck. He was racist for his time. They try to make it seem like, well, he was just a man of his time. No, he was even racist for Jim Crow times. Major racist. This dude didn't like people working at Disney. He didn't let people work at Disneyland. This dude fired people who looked black. There was some East Indian dude working at Disney. Somebody hired him back in the 30s, the 40s. Walt Disney said, who is this nigga here? And fired him. Oh my God, this dude has a long history of racism they try to sweep under the rug. Even one of his grandnieces pointed out his racism. She came out publicly. I think Alice Disney or somehow, I forgot what her name is, but she was pointing out his damn racism. But they go out of their way to try to ignore that. Yeah, he was all clicked in with the Nazis and shit. Big time. Yeah, he was clicked in. Google everything I'm saying. And this is shit we hear privately. This is the private life that we hear bits and pieces of. We know how he felt about black people publicly. He made one of the most racist films in film history, that Song of the South. A song that had to be banned. Racist ass song about slavery and all this old shit. And he's always used racial images in all of his cartoons back in those days. So again, they go out of their way to try to deny his racism. And that's the point. They deny white supremacy or minimize white supremacy. But what they will do, they will get on code and cape for each other. And they'll go out of their way to exaggerate, to overly exaggerate any so-called black bigotry. Any type of perceived black bigotry towards anybody, they go out of their way to exaggerate it. Case in point, what they're doing with Kevin Hart right now. Kevin Hart, they announced that he was going to host the Oscar Awards. He was going to host the Academy Awards. And this was a major setup, and they wanted to use him as an example. They knew all this shit beforehand. They were planning this. This whole thing with Kevin Hart, a lot of folks don't know about it. It's playing out as we speak. Kevin Hart just kind of made an announcement tonight, like right before I started the broadcast tonight. Kevin Hart was contacted to host the Academy Awards. It was a big thing, and yes, he was going to host the Academy Awards. Then all of a sudden, the mainstream media outlets suddenly pulled up some old tweets that they said were homophobic. He was making some jokes, and they are saying that his tweets were homophobic. So then all the mainstream media outlets started this whole dogpiling bullshit. So whenever they're doing that, whenever all the media outlets are jumping on a story at once, that means it was pre-planned. It was orchestrated. Just like with Cosby, they pre-planned all the shit. They start orchestrating everything and repeating each other and using the same words. This is something that's orchestrated from the top. They wanted to make an example out of them. They wanted to shift racism or bigotry off of people in Hollywood and put it on a black person. You know, with the whole Me Too movement in Hollywood, all these molesters and all of these pedophiles and all these people, they done ran out of black folks to pin shit on. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel to pin sexual assault cases on. They got Neil deGrasse Tyson. They're getting scientists. They're scraping to find some black folks to put that sexual assault Me Too shit on. So if they can't do that, they'll go to homophobia. This is a big old sleight of hand trick they're doing, guys. Same thing they did with Nate Parker. This is a sleight of hand trick that they're doing. This whole playing dumb, like, oh my God, Kevin is so homophobic. We didn't know, my God. He couldn't possibly host the Oscar Awards. This is a con game. White supremacists getting on code. It's white supremacists getting on code. And I think they tried to get Kevin to apologize, and he didn't apologize, which was smart. Kevin, if you're listening, do not apologize for those tweets. Don't do it, because it doesn't matter. If you apologize, that don't matter. They'll still be on your ass funny style. Do not apologize. Don't bow down and apologize. Don't do that. He didn't say, he was just a bunch of jokes from like 2011 that he was tweeting on Twitter. He was making a bunch of jokes. He's a comedian. They do that. They did the same thing with Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan did some jokes on stage and all of a sudden they ran him out there in front of the cameras, demonizing him and making him apologize. And that was payback for Michael Richards. Michael Richards had to apologize for yelling nigga, nigga, nigga. So that's what they had to do. They had to pull him out there and get a black person to apologize for being equally as bigoted. That's a sleight of hand trick that they're doing, guys. Did Kevin just apologize? Somebody saying, I mean, all of this shit is kind of playing out as we see it right now. But this is something, I haven't even heard this yet, but this is some video clip of Kevin.
So I just got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old, or we're going to have to move on and find another host. Talking about the tweets from 2009, 2010. I chose to pass. I passed on the apology. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times. This is not the first time this has come up. I've addressed it. I've spoken on it. I've said where the rights and wrongs were. I've said who I am now versus who I was then. I've done it. I've done it. I'm not going to continue to go back and tap into the days of old when I moved on and I'm in a completely different space in my life. The same energy that went into finding those old tweets could be the same energy put into finding the response to the questions that have been asked years after years after years. We feed in the internet trolls and we reward them. I'm not going to do it, man. I'm going to be me. I'm going to stay on my ground. Regardless, Academy, I'm thankful and appreciative of the opportunity. If it goes away, no harm, no foul.
All right, but this ain't about no internet trolls, Kev. Kev, this ain't no internet trolls, bruh. This ain't internet trolls. This some people on the top. When trolls start getting mainstream press, look, there's trolls on the internet all day. They pick and choose who they want to blow up and believe and act like there's this big outcry. Look, listen, let me tell you something. The mainstream media, they orchestrate all this stuff. Let me go to his Twitter. Somebody said he caved in. Let me go to his Twitter. Let me look at it. I'm looking at his Twitter now. Let me see what he's saying. Okay. Basically, it says, I know who I am. Just touchdown. Okay, hold on. Let me read this. I made the choice to step down from hosting the Oscars. This is because I don't want to be a distraction on a night that should be celebrated by so many amazingly talented people. I sincerely apologize to the LGB community for my insensitive words from my past. I'm sorry that I hurt people. I'm evolving, and I want to continue to do so. My goal is to bring people together, not tear us apart. Much love and appreciation to the Academy. I hope we can meet again. Okay. So, this whole thing where this is another sleight of hand. This is another sleight of hand trick that they do. He basically apologized. They got to him. They got to make you bow down. Now understand, nobody apologized when those execs were making all of those slick remarks about Kevin on those hacked emails. Remember they had those hacked emails from Sony and those execs was talking real greasy about Kevin? And black folks in general, they were making some real racist remarks. Real funny style stuff. When is the LGBT community going to apologize to black society? With all the racism that goes on in the white LGBT community. When is that apology going to pop off? When are y'all going to apologize for Milo and Jeffree Star and all of these LGBT people who make all these disparaging remarks about black people? Some of these lesbian police officers who abuse black people. We've done stories on that before. Nobody apologizes. Black people, we've been caping for all these other groups for so long, and then they all turn on us, and we're right back at square one. Black people, there's a lot of black people who try to put their sexuality first. And that's what these white supremacists within the LGB community and the straight community, this is what they want you to do. They want you to think that you have some type of sexual camaraderie with them. But they always put their sexuality second and their race first. And dumb Negroes, for some reason, cannot get that in their heads. These shea butter bed wenches, they are always out here caping for white mommy and zaddy, talking about they're a feminist this and they're LGBT that. And these people don't see you as their equal. They never do. When the chips fall down, they look out for themselves first as far as race. There's another story that happened this week. Lena Dunham, she's an actress. She's a white feminist, one of these white liberal feminists. Her background is a mess, by the way. And me and her, we've had words online between us. She's always apologizing for some slick shit she's done. But there was this black actress. The media is trying to say, well, biracial, but her dad is black, her mother's white. Her dad is the dude who was in, he's been in a whole bunch of movies. Oh, what the fuck is his last? Perrier? I can't think of his. I remember him the most from the Best Man movies. He was the square dude in the Best Man movies. Harold Perrier. I think that's his name. I can't think of his name. But this black lady, this actress, said that she was raped by this white writer back in 2012 or something like that. She was 17 and she got raped by this white writer that Lena Dunham knows, that she's clicked in with. And this sister announced that she was raped by this white guy, and Lena Dunham actually took his side. She supported him over her, and a lot of people were acting like they were shocked. What you shocked for? Aurora Perrineau, that's her name. Aurora Perrineau. Her dad is Harold Perrineau. Yeah, see, that's why I don't buy into that biracial shit, because they're trying to lessen it, trying to make it seem like it's less racist if she's biracial. It's not really about race. Yeah, it is about race, because she's being treated like a nigga. See, the thing is, you can call yourself biracial and you can say somebody's biracial, they're still being treated like a nigga. You're treated like a non-white person. And Lena Dunham has been heavily criticized. She's a feminist, but she's taking the side of a rapist. They all do that. Why are y'all shocked by that? It's called white supremacy, not LGBT supremacy. It ain't no other supremacy. They understand white supremacy and the privileges that come with that. They understand that. And they understand that they need to support that. Y'all don't ever be fooled by these so-called white feminists. They've been pulling this trick on y'all since the 1800s. This is an old trick that still keeps working. Y'all feed into their bullshit, and then they flip the script on you. Because the thing is, the white feminist community and the LGBT community, they need black folks to piggyback off of. The thing is, what they do, they use Negroes as mascots. I always point this out. They get black people and parade them around as the mascots. Like, give us the money for these poor Negroes. Look at these poor Negroes, and them being treated bad is just like us being treated bad. So send us the money, and we'll make sure everything is going to be all right. Because the thing is, nobody in the white community can come out here and talk about how oppressed they are. Nobody in the white community can come out talking about how oppressed they are, because society and the world is going to look at them like, wait a minute, you white though. What you mean you oppressed? Every law in place is to benefit you. So it's imperative that they get black mascots, just like the Me Too movement had black mascots. And I hate when niggas say stupid shit like, it was a black woman who made up the Me Too movement. No, she didn't. She just made up the name and the hashtag. She didn't make up the movement. This shit was planned and orchestrated by these white supremacist females. And the white supremacist male. It was orchestrated by them. She just came up with the name. She didn't come up with the movement. Stop being dumb. They were already planning this, and they needed a Negro mascot. So, hey, Negro mascot, what should we call this? Me Too. Oh, shit. This is the founder of Me Too. Look at her. She's black. So when we start going after all these niggas, y'all can't accuse us of racism because the founder of Me Too, wink, wink, is black. Sleight of hand. Watch the sleight of hand tricks that they use. They've been pulling these sleight of hand tricks for decades. That goes all the way back to the abolitionist movement. Understand, the abolitionist movement, truth be told, was a sleight of hand movement. Because a lot of these white feminists came out of the abolitionist movement. Like Susan B. Anthony, some of those women, they started off as abolitionists first. What they would do, they would say, oh my God, all those black people down there in the South, enslaved, slavery is horrible. Those poor downtrodden people, that is, we got to do something about that. So mail us the money, and we're going to try to do something about that slavery down there. Those white abolitionists were cleaning up on that. Using pictures and images of poor, downtrodden black folks and raking in the money for themselves. Those white abolitionists could give less than a damn about black folks. Do you understand me? Those white abolitionists didn't give a shit about black people because as soon as slavery was over and black people wanted to move to the North, they were like, we didn't say all that now. Black folks was like, he's going to go to the North. Not so fast, Leroy. I don't know about all that, buddy. And when black folks did go to the North, they faced the same type of vicious damn racism. They were funneled into certain cities and sectors of town. That's why in the book Sundown Town, most of the Sundown Towns are in the North. Most of the places where black folks can't go are in the North. Some of the most racist states with hardcore white supremacists are like Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota. Sleight of hand. We got to stop falling for the sleight of hand tricks, family. It's like the whole Africa thing. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, there was a running joke about Sally Struthers. Sally Struthers was an actress that was on a TV show called All in the Family. And later on, she started to do these Feed the Children commercials where she would be over there in Africa and they would go get the hungriest looking kids and put them on camera and say, hey, look at this child. This child hasn't eaten in years. Send us some money for this child. And the money never goes to the children. And the running joke was every commercial, Sally Struthers would get fatter and fatter. Every commercial, they're getting all this money for these African kids, and Sally Struthers is getting fatter and fatter and fatter. They did a South Park parody of that, by the way. Look up Starvin' Marvin. They did a parody called Starvin' Marvin with a little African kid who was getting finessed by Sally Struthers. She was getting fat as hell, eating up all their money, and they weren't getting none. That was an old joke. I think the show In Living Color did a parody on that, too. So that was a running joke for a long time. How they'll parade poor black folks around and then attach themselves to it like they're some kind of bleeding heart liberal and say, hey, send us the money. So they're doing that same thing now. They're doing the same exact thing. They'll parade a couple of Negro bed wenches out, and they know who to get. They know how to find bed wenches. They know how to find these negresses who hate black society. They know how to screen and find them and parade them around out there and use them as mascots so that they can get money and finesse. Excuse me. And the thing is, they like to get these shea butter feminists to run around yelling misogynoir, homophobia. They have them yelling that bullshit all the time, trying to compare homophobia with white supremacy, so that when it's time to criticize a black person or when it's time to take the heat off a white supremacist, they can go prop up a black person and say, hey, that person is the real bigot. That person is the real racist. That person is the real discriminator. Notice whenever somebody's accused of being racist, somebody in the dominant white society, notice when somebody's accused of being a white supremacist or somebody's accused of having anti-black views, I want y'all to peep this. Notice the media and other people in the dominant white society, they will always attach something else with the racism. They'll say, oh my God, this guy is, he's racist and he's sexist. I want y'all to peep that out. Even if they concede that somebody is racist, they'll always attach something else to the racism. When it's almost inevitable, or it's just, you can't deny somebody's racism, they always attach something else to it. Always. Okay, yeah, Michael Richards is racist, but he's also homophobic too. They always do that. They're throwing in a chaser. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, he's so racist. And he's also anti-Semitic. Mel Gibson, like with Mel Gibson, notice with Mel Gibson, they completely ignore the fact that this dude was talking about his right wife getting raped by a pack of niggas. They ignore all that anti-black shit and they focus on the anti-Semitism. They ignore all that shit so that they can downplay the anti-black racism, because they want to almost normalize that. That's the sleight of hand trick that we got to stop them from doing. Y'all got to call them out when they do that. Y'all have to call them out when they do that. And you dumb Negroes, stop trying to be mascots. Yeah, that is homophobic, man. Shut your ass up. You're giving these people more ammunition to deflect and pull a sleight of hand. They pull that trick all the time. That way, they can start accusing black folks of bigotry, because you can't accuse black folks of racism. You can't accuse any black people of racism, because we have no power to be racist. Racism is a system. The only system of racism is white supremacy. So this is why every little thing, they'll try to accuse a black person of being anti-Semitic, transphobic. That's the new thing. Misogynistic. They always try to put these bigotry labels on black folks. So whenever somebody gets in trouble, like Laura Loomer, that little disgusting white supremacist who hangs with the Proud Boys, she got banned off Twitter. So she went and handcuffed herself to the Twitter headquarters and had a picture of Farrakhan. Like, why did I get banned? And Farrakhan, what about Farrakhan? Farrakhan is anti-Semitic. How come he gets to stay? Farrakhan. You see? She's out there trying to do a sleight of hand. You know who else tried that Farrakhan thing? Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan, he's just coming all the way out with his bullshit now. We've said what we had to say about Joe Rogan and his alt-right sounding tendencies. But now he's just being real, real bold with his shit now. He was using that whole thing with Farrakhan. He's a racist. And he was up there. He had Anthony Kamiya on his show. You know, racist-ass Anthony Kamiya, who got fired from Sirius FM because of his racism. Even white people say this motherfucker's racist. So Joe Rogan, you know, he's kind of embracing that alt-right white supremacist crowd. That's kind of his thing. He knows where the money is. And recently I saw a clip where Joe Rogan and this guy was talking about all this racism against whites. Yeah, man. people can just say whatever they want to say about whites, man, and it's normal. You can't say nothing about nobody else. My God, man, all this anti-white racism from who? Ain't no anti-white racism from who? What racism other than name calling? Somebody done called you a name. That ain't no racism because ain't no power to back it up and do anything about it. That's the only thing they can point to if they want to claim black racism. Yeah, Joe Rogan plays dumb. He ain't dumb by a long shot. And let me tell y'all something. The white supremacists love playing dumb. Because when they play dumb, they can remain in denial. They're not dumb at all. They have the luxury to play dumb, to keep the situation where it is. But he was talking about, yeah, all this racism, man, you know, all this racism against the whites. Now, Joe Rogan is a very smart dude. They know that there is no racism against white people. They know that, but they know how to just say bullshit in order to justify them practicing white supremacy. The white supremacists are very good at playing dumb and lying. For example, the white supremacists like saying shit like, well, black people get all these benefits from affirmative action. The white supremacists are fully aware that that's a crock of shit. They know that's a lie. I want you to understand me. They know that is a lie. If black people were really getting something out of affirmative action in significant numbers, the white supremacists would have destroyed it already. They would have stopped it. I want you to be clear. Anything that benefits black people and not others, it will be stopped immediately. So don't ever let them pretend that we're getting some type of unearned benefit from anywhere. Also, another thing, that whole crime in Chicago shit, they know that's a crock of bullshit too. They know that's a crock of bullshit. They know their FBI statistics are bullshit. They know. All of this is used to just justify harming black people. And it's used to run game on you. If they repeat it long enough and then you start believing it, then you won't do anything about white supremacy. You'll be one of these dumb niggas running around. We got to fix ourselves first. I was arguing with the little old homely bedwinch about that too on Twitter. Some little homely chick, and I could tell she was a bedwinch right away. She had that homely, dry plantation bedwinch look, and she was talking about, man, we need to stop focusing on racism. All this focusing on racism, that's a waste of time. We need to focus on ourselves first. The problem is in our community. And then when you start asking questions, then they start trolling and acting dumb and acting coonish. And then I found out she was a bedwinch. Ah, there we go. So you've already submitted to Massa. You've already submitted. So black folks are very confused. You think, okay, let me submit. Let me be a bed wench, or let me go up here and be a bed buck. And everything is going to be good. We're going to be safe. You know, it's not going to work like that. It's not going to work like that at all. You think you safe in Massa's bed. You think you safe, brothers, in the missus' bed. Like my man Kareem Hunt. That's our brother. And my man, he wasn't bed bucking, because some people were asking me, well, how come he ain't no bed buck? Well, he didn't say or do anything stupid or coonish against black society. To my thing, I don't look at somebody as a bed wench or a bed buck just because of who you dating. It's what you do while you're dating a person. If you're dating a person in the white society and then you up here talking some coon shit and you talking against black society, that's where the problem is. That's where the problem is, and we got a lot of bed wenches, and we got a couple of coons who do shit like that. That's the problem. Everybody who's watching on YouTube right now, hit the like button and subscribe, by the way. hit the like button and subscribe. Somebody asked me, did RG3 try to get at me? No. There's a picture circulating of R3G. What's his real name? What's that brother's name? He's a football player, kind of a goofy looking dude. And I don't follow football like that. I was just, his picture is funny because it's circulating around. What's RG3's, what's his real name and what team does he play for? Robert Griffin. What team does he play for? And he took a picture with his lily white lady. Is that his wife or is just his girlfriend? I mean, she's lily white. Lily White, he's taking a picture with her. He has a big coon grin, and he has one of the most fucked up haircuts in the NFL. This brother has a fucked up haircut, so you can tell that he has not been hanging around no black people. And there's people kind of joking about his fucked up haircut. But I told y'all before, you can tell bed wenches and bed bucks by the way they start letting their hair go. That means they ain't hanging around no black folks. That's why I can tell a bed wench just by her hair. You can see that it's half-ass fixed. She done went down to Fantastic Sam's. She done went to some white salon because she ain't going down to the black salons no more. And some of these coons out here, you can tell when they've distanced themselves from black society because their edge up and they line up be looking fucked up. They don't want to go down to the black barbershop no more. They want to go down to Supercuts to get their shit cut. And you can tell the lineup is all over the place. You dig? Now you can tell a bed wench and a bed buck. See, deep down, bed wenches and bed bucks, especially bed wenches, they laying up with Zaddy in their minds. They're white almost in their minds. They want to view themselves as white, or they just happen to be black, but they're really white. So they try to take on things within white culture. They start using white hair products and it fucks their hair up. They be using shit like Garnier Fructis and all this mousse and sprays that don't mesh with your hair texture, and you walking around and your edges are all fucked up and dry and your shit done broke off in the back. Like, you can take your ass down there to Whoop, There It Is Weave Shop and stop playing. They all have a look. You can see a bed wench from a mile away. I can tell. There's a look. There's a look. When I see your edges looking real crispy, I'm like, wait a minute. Where's your white man? Wait a minute. She ain't got no swag. You can tell when I see fucked up edges and no ass, I said, uh-oh, we got a bedwin situation going on. When you see a goofy, squeaky voice nigga with no swag, with a fucked up lineup.
What about black on black crime? We need to fix ourselves.
Okay, nigga, where's Becky? Is Becky in the car, nigga? Somebody in the chat room says she used Garnier. Grace, how long is your hair, dear? How long? Yeah, you see these niggas like anime and all this shit. And if you see some of these chicks out here doing all that cosplay, oh, that's bed wench. Go look up cosplay. Look up black cosplay players. Cosplay, whatever that shit is. Look them up and look at them fucked up hairstyles. Look at them black cosplay players, cosplay, and you notice all their hairstyles are fucked up. All of them. You dig? Just take a good look at them, because those are usually bed wenches and coons up at those spots, and they hate me for pointing that out. Yeah, if you see a chick who's into Harry Potter and some shit who's... a chick who's into Narnia and all this old shit, that's bed wench shit right there. That's bed wenching all day. And if you see a nigga who's way too much into Star Wars, Oh, that nigga has him a little old Becky at the crib, or he's campaigning to get one. Because only niggas I see who's really into Star Wars are nigga nerds and soft coons. You dig? But the thing is, we got to stop letting the white supremacists run the sleight of hand trick on us. Let me take a... I haven't taken a call in a minute. I haven't taken no phone calls in a minute. Let me take a phone call, family. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. Let me chop it up. I ain't chopped it up with y'all. Let me see if the phone line is working. 818-850-5404. Somebody call in. Let me see if this thing works. 818-850-5404. And let me see if this thing is working. And I'm going to take some calls. And meanwhile, I hope y'all got y'all tickets to join me live in Atlanta with my group, Mink Slide, in a couple of weeks, December 22nd, Saturday. I hope y'all coming on down. What's up? Who's calling? Hello?
Hello?
What's up, brother? What's up with your phone, man?
Oh, that's my bad. I didn't even know I was on. What's up, though, Sarit?
What's up, man? Sound like you didn't smoke you some. What city you in, brother?
Nah, I'm out Merlin.
All right.
DMV area.
There you go, man. Well, go back to sleep, man. You ain't got nothing to say. Go back to sleep. All right. I can tell this nigga ain't had shit to say. Let me get somebody with something to say. I don't want a motherfucker just calling up rambling. What's up? Who's calling? Yo, who's calling?
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Flex, what's up, Flex?
What's up, man? What's your name, man?
Man, this is Will from New Orleans.
Will from New Orleans. What's on your mind, Will?
Yeah, I got a chick. She in a host stage right now, and I'm just trying to get her right quick. I don't know what I should do.
Okay, so you got a chick who's a hoe, and you want to know what to do?
No, you know, whole stage.
That's a hoe. I mean, she's in a whole stage. Like, all right, that's,
you know,
a hoe.
She got.
Oh,
so
damn.
What else to do next? To get her? Like,
wait, hold on. Let's get clear. Now, how long you been dating this woman?
I haven't been dating. Like, I work with her.
Oh, so you work with a hoe? Where you work at?
No, I work in a
hotel
business.
So a hoe at a hotel. Okay. God damn, brother. Now, how do you know she's in our host state? How do you know?
She told me.
Okay, so what did she tell you?
She said she's in a host state right now. She said she opened the relationship now. She dating people like she can't be held out by one dude.
And you want to wipe that up? You trying to figure out how to...
No, I don't wipe up.
So what you want with it? What you trying to do with it?
I just want to smash and dash. That's all I want to do.
Is this a white chick? What she look like, man?
Nah. She's fine. She's black. She's tall. She's fine.
So how do you feel about her?
We talking and stuff, you know. I'm just trying to steal a deal. That's it.
Now, how long you been trying to seal the deal?
For like 2 weeks now.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Now, when last time you talked to her?
Yesterday.
And what did you talk to? What did you talk to about? I mean, what you saying to her on the phone?
I was in person. I was just talking to her at work and stuff. You know, I don't know if I take her on a date or I don't know. You know. Hello. I don't know.
This nigga, you cupcaking. You cupcaking.
Breaking up.
Brother, can you hear me, brother?
Yeah, I got you.
Brother, why are you trying to put the cape on for old girl, dude?
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, at all. You are, man. You are putting the cape on for.
Man, I don't want to do that.
When's the last time you've been in a relationship, dude?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with that relationship, brother?
She left. She had to do her thing.
So now you putting the cape on for old girl. Who's hoeing? Who's hoeing around with other dudes?
You said so. You're right.
All right, brother.
How can I not do that?
How can you not do it?
Yeah.
Well, nigga, you can take the cape off. You can find somebody who ain't in the hoe stage, man. Well, I hear you flying over the hotel, nigga. You flying over the hotel with your cape, nigga. All right, anyway, man, thanks for the call. God damn, these niggas out here, boy. Game goofy as fucking hell. All right, let me get one more call, man. We got Captain Save-A-Hoes out here. Now, let me see who else is on the phone. Good Lord. What's up? Who's calling?
Yeah, hello. I just called a minute ago. You said I was high. Nah, I just want to... I'm going to make it quick because I know you don't like talking to niggas like that.
I know, I don't. You know what? Niggas already on my goddamn nerves right now. What's up? This better be good. What's up, man? What's on your mind? Talk to me.
Nah, but, like, I just wanted to say, like, you know, I'm 20 years old. I've been following you for, like, a short time. Like, I probably say, like, the beginning of this year. And I've been learning a lot since I've been listening to you. I just want to, you know, thank you on that. You know, I appreciate that.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead.
And, you know, but it's like, I'm Liberian, too, so it's like you say stuff about, like, you know, it's a lot of coons that come out of Africa and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't even get offended because, you know, it is true because, you know, like, it's three countries that I say we got the most coons, not all, but three.
Yeah.
Nigeria, Ghana, and Sierra Leone.
Yeah. Now, were you born over there or were you born here?
I was actually born in the Ivory Coast because it was, like, when I was, like, around the time I was born, there was a war in Liberia, so... You know, you was ducking and dodging, you know, gunshots and all that. So,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was born in the Ivory Coast, but I'm Liberian, but I came here when I was born.
Oh, wow, wow. Now, have you been back over there?
Nah.
No, you said fuck that. Now,
I'll go back, but it's, you know, it's like, I'll go back.
I'm just saying, culturally, have you never went back to visit any family, anybody like that over there, right?
Nah, I got family over here.
Right, so
I still got family back. But
so yeah. did your parents be on some shit where they told you to stay away from the American Negroes?
let me keep it 100. All right, so it's like, my dad, he kind of cool, so he's not like that. My mom, she has said some little slick stuff a little bit here and there, but me, I kind of, you know, I check that shit.
Yeah, I mean, let's keep it real. I already know, brother. Trust me, I already know. So let's just keep that shit going.
But the thing is, Liberians, though, it ain't really a lot of Liberian coons. It's really the older folks. It's not really the young folks in my generation. That's why I say it's usually Nigerians, Ghanaians, and Sierra Leone. Like, I'm trying to tell you. I don't really see a lot of coonery from the Caribbean, but yeah.
Yeah, it's there. You'll see it in some when they get over here. A lot of them are. It's a lot of older ones, but there's a lot of younger ones too. But anyway, man. But I feel you, bro. Thanks for the call, brother. Let me get some more calls. Thank you. But yeah, I told y'all, man, about some of these second gen West African man. They them parents. And my brother was good. He was good because sound like he rejected a lot of that bullshit, but they do. I've been telling y'all that for a minute. Those parents be telling their children, don't fuck with them American Negroes. That's why the white supremacists know this. They know this, and they know who to hire. That's why they'll hire these cats, and they'll work at the root. That's why when you look at the root and Ebony and the Griot, all these quote-unquote black publications, you'll see these West African last names up there. Because they know that these niggas, they don't feel the same way about black society. They think there's something else. And the white supremacists, they know that. Another sleight of hand trick that they use. So we're looking at a black-ass person, black as hell, and in his mind, he's like, I ain't like these niggas. Fuck these niggas. Massa, get them. All right, let's see who else is on this phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Flex, what's going on?
What's up, man? Who is this?
Yeah, I'm chilling. This to me out by the New Jersey.
What's up?
Hey, listen.
Go ahead.
Yo, so I was checking out the Meek Mill's interview, right? And you know what, man? I was feeling his growth, but I think that since he has the ear of the higher ups in you know, the NFL, and he's rubbing shoulders with some billionaires, and he made some statement that I disagree with, but I know if he was to get around brothers like, you know, like you, Antonio Moore, Zoe Williams. So he'll, you know what I'm saying? So when he get in these rooms, he'll be just a little bit more polished.
Yeah.
When he get into these conversations, like when he was up on CNN, I didn't see the interview, but I heard they, you know, they tried to, trap him off. And he was real honest in that interview because he was basically saying, he called Charlamagne out and he was saying that, he said, come on, man, it's certain things that you can't say. And you know, it's certain things that you won't say. And Charlamagne kind of, you know, shuffled around it, but he's fully aware that, you know, being a black millionaire or a black entertainer, there's certain things he can't say. He know that they'll come after his back.
But yeah, and that's, you know, right. And let's be real. And that's the thing. He knows, and a lot of black people know, and we got to understand who's pushed out there by the dominant society, who's on the payroll. We got to understand who's pushed out there. No disrespect to Meek. But Meek has to kind of censor his words because he knows where his bread is buttered. That's why they put him on there. They know he's not going to say anything off the chain. They know.
Right.
They already know that. They know that. This is why it's important for us to be self-sufficient. And this is why when people like me, I'm a threat. I mean, that's why you Google the word race baiter. You know, they got my picture up there because when I get up there, I ain't going to censor shit. I'm going to tell you exactly what's popping. And they don't want to have that on there too much unless they're going to try to sabotage you and just try to troll or some shit like that. And that's the best they can do. They're never going to have a real serious dialogue about race with a person
right.
like me. So whenever they bring somebody on there black to talk serious about race, usually it's going to be somebody they know who can't really go in, you dig? Because, you know, they'll shut your ass down. Look what they did to Mark Lamont Hill, you know. He was cooning and soft shoeing, and they still gave him the axe. So they're letting their Negroes know, you better toe the line. You better get your coon shoes shined up if you want to be around us. And that's the message. This is why it's imperative that we become independent and economically strong without the dominant society having a hand in what we do. You feel me?
Right. Right.
All right, my brother. You have a I'm gonna get some more calls, brother. You have a good night, brother. All right. We can't be here all night now. Shit. We can't be here all goddamn night. Let's see who else we got going on here. What's up? Who's calling?
How you doing? This is Rasu out of Detroit, Michigan.
Rasu.
I got a quick question.
Go ahead, brother.
I got a quick question. There's this girl on my job, you know what I'm saying? She's a hoe, I'm be real.
God,
I got the inside scoop. Okay. I got the inside scoop that, you know what I'm saying,
hoes.
She's smashing, you know.
Okay. Go ahead.
Right. See, I got the inside scoop that she's smashing different dudes on the job. Now I'm in, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I can hit. I mean, she's an attractive girl or whatever. But I might have made a slight mistake. I text her here and there, but I made a slight mistake because there's another dude on the job that hit it or whatever. And I thought he was cool or whatever, so I had went, you know, which I shouldn't have did, and asked him about it, you know, thinking that he gonna put me on, but he kind of like, you know, he denied it and acted like he didn't know what I was talking about and all this old kind of shit or whatever, and he got offended and all this old kind of shit, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so that hopefully that didn't put a damper on it, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, the girl is attractive or whatever, but I just want to smash. I'm just being real. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way to go about it. You know what I mean? You know, so what are your thoughts on that real quick? Hello?
Yeah, I was just waiting on you to get through cupcaking. Okay.
Oh, okay,
yeah, yeah,
right.
I was just waiting on you to get...
I just want to smash.
Yeah.
Right, I just want to... I'm being real. Is
it a million simp march going on tonight somewhere that I don't know about? What the fuck is going on with y'all niggas,
no,
man?
No, I'm not a simp at all. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I just want to hit. Like,
brother,
everybody else... Yeah.
Brother, y'all simping for hoes at the job. What's wrong with y'all niggas, man? Is it that bad in the streets out here, y'all?
Right. I just want to smash like everybody else doing. That's it. I'm not trying to cupcake this female.
Is the game that dry out here? Niggas got to smash the hoe at work? My God.
I only work there part-time, too. It's my little second little side hustle. I'm just a janitor there. You know, it's a hair salon. You know what I'm
it's
saying?
It's a hair salon?
And a barber shop. Yes, it's a barbershop, hair salon, and she smashed a lot of the dudes that come in and get their hair cut, you know.
Man.
And I found this out, you know, through, you know, one of the owners there, you know, he was putting me up on game. God. You know what I'm saying?
Black women, brothers,
you know, and
listen,
he smashed one of the co-workers too. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, brothers.
But it's brothers. Like a, you know, the, I guess the guy, they, it's like on the low or whatever. You know, and I'm not disparaging her. She's a cool female.
But
I'm
going
to hit like everybody else doing.
Brother, listen, 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 brother. Y'all got to stop aiming for the bottom. Niggas be okay. Reaching for the bottom, brother. Stop aiming. Y'all putting too much energy in reaching for the
okay.
Bottom. That's what niggas grew up with, these single mothers. Y'all grew up with these single mm-hmm. goddamn mothers. And this is the shit that niggas learn. Y'all learn to shoot for the bottom. Y'all putting way too much energy into the neighborhood slut, nigga. When I was coming up in the game, the neighborhood slut, nobody put energy in that. If she came through, she came through. If not, ain't nobody sitting up here talking about, hey, let's, when can we get with her? How can I get it? Nigga, no, do better, brother. Aim for something.
Okay.
You got to just aim high, brother. I'm not going to teach
okay.
you. I'm not about to sit here, 2000, whatever year this is, because I don't like to date the shows. I'm not going to teach you how to get with the work hoe. The job
okay.
slut. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to help you downsize your Mackin, brother. You got to upgrade
okay.
your shit, brother. Let me tell you, first of all, if you want to hit that, stop being a janitor. You better start looking
okay.
for other ways of employment so you can get your money up. You focusing on the wrong shit. You're a janitor at a hair salon. That's a problem right
it's
there.
It's a side job.
Don't,
I have another job.
You know,
so
and the fact that you got a side job is a problem. You need to get your financial game in order. When you get your
okay.
financial game in order, because right, how old are you, brother? How old are you?
I'm 30, late 30s,
nigga. You way too old to be trying to fuck the job hoe. That's you.
Okay.
You about to be 40 years old, man. You need to be in a position where you own some shit. When you're owning
okay.
shit, let me tell you something. For example, if you own a shop, that pussy,
mm-hmm.
that pussy be coming to you. You understand?
Right, right. That's what's going on with the owner, the guy that owns.
He fucking ain't.
He wants to fuck him, but. But he married, though, so he, you know, he has a shooter to the side.
Yeah, yeah. So, see, she wants to fuck him. You understand that?
Right, right, see, right. But he knows it, too. He tell me all the time. He say, you know, but he, you know, he puts on his boy.
Yeah. See, that's boss
mm-hmm.
Mac shit. That's what a Mac does. You can sidestep all that bullshit. And that's
right,
where
right.
And
he,
that's,
don't, he don't like her neither. He says she's not his type. She smashed all his boys.
Exactly. That's how a Mac supposed to think. I don't like no chick who's smashing all my homies. That's beneath
right.
me. You see how his mentality is and how yours is? He's looking down
oh,
at the, he's looking down at
oh.
that, and you're looking up at her. You understand?
Right. I just want to hit it.
I
don't
know.
Wanna, you know, do
I,
nothing else.
Don't,
she just
I,
got a nice body. That's
I
it.
Know, but the thing is, I'm telling you some game. That's why you need to start focusing on upgrading your shit so that you won't,
okay.
you won't have to aim low. Don't matter how good her body is, you aiming low. You're aiming
oh.
low, brother. You're aiming. You see, you want me to give you some magic words on how to smash this broad. I don't want you to waste that kind of energy. I don't want you
okay.
to waste that kind of energy trying to smash this chick who fucking everybody.
Okay.
You ain't going to, you what? You're going to get a 30-second nut and that's it, brother. And I don't want to give you game. The game is better than that. The
okay.
game. The game is better than that. All right? Upgrade.
Okay.
Upgrade, brother. Thank you, brother.
All right, and thank you so much. Thanks for everything. I read all your books, and I've been listening to you for years, and I'm going to keep supporting you. God bless you.
Much respect, brother. All right. God, what? Okay, let me put my Mackin music on. What's going on with these brothers? I do need to get the Mac lessons revamped to something. What's up with all these dudes, man? There's a lot of dudes trying to fuck the job hoe, the job slut, man. You know, I've been out the game. You know, I'm square at a pool table right now. But is it that bad out here, guys? Now I see what the ladies be talking about. It's rough trying to get a nigga with his mind right. Y'all can't aim low, man. The same energy you using on smashing a low-level job toss around. Nigga, y'all... That's something you don't put no energy into. That's like whatever. But the thing is, my man, he's a janitor. So a lot of times when dudes, and this is why you got to step your game up. The game is all about what's in you. The game is in you, not on you. Let's get into a little Mackin real quick before I get up out of here. We got to do some Mackin talk. the game got to be in you, not on you. He wanted me to put some game on him, but the game ain't in him. He wanted me to put a couple of words in his pocket so that he can pull it out and throw at old girl and do some magic tricks on it. It don't work like that, brother. Well, it can. I can tell you how to bullshit somebody, but I'm not going to even let you waste your energy, because let me tell you something. Even if I tell you some magic words or give you some bullshit to kind of lay on her, give you some magic lies to tell or whatever, after you smash, guess what? You still going to have to wake up the next morning, put on your musty overalls and your work boots and get that mop and be the same nigga you were before you start telling all the lies and bullshit. See, I want you to be a better player. You dig? The game ain't about no quick fix. The thing is, if I told you how to half-ass in the game, then you wouldn't even be no real player. I'm just going to make you a better simp. And that's what I do not want to do. I don't want to make niggas better simps out here. I want you to step the game up so the game is all the way in you. And when the game is in you, the ladies are going to gravitate. That's what y'all niggas need to understand. The game is going to gravitate. The women are going to gravitate once that game is in you. And it's in you when you're comfortable with where you are. The reason why my dude and a lot of these other cats calling, the reason why they want to smash these low-level, toss-around slut chicks, is because they're not confident in themselves. These are niggas that are not just game goofy. These niggas have a lack of confidence in themselves. So they put their confidence level into low base bullshit, like smashing the office slut. They put way too much energy in that. They think that's going to give them a temporary level of confidence. That's why I don't want to tell you how to smash that, because you're going to actually feel worse about yourself after you do it. You will feel worse. Get some confidence in your game, and you do that by finding out what you want to do in life. Because right now, the reason why you're thinking on such a low level, you're not where you want to be. Nigga, you don't want to be a janitor. The other dude working at the hotel with the hoe, he don't really want to work there. I think he might be a janitor too, the way he's talking. These niggas work down somewhere in the mailroom or in the kitchen. So these niggas don't really, these little positions aren't really popping. So they don't think that they can get a higher caliber, a crop of women. So these niggas got to go for the bottom feeding ass chicks. And that's reflective of how you feel about yourself. Man, when I was in the game, I always aim high, because I understand the same energy you use on the neighborhood cum bucket, you can use on a dime. The same energy goes in both directions, man. You might as well shoot up. You might as well go high. And while you're going high, you need to be stepping your game up. You need to be stepping your money game up. Because that's what you're going to learn. When you step your money game up and when you learn how to accumulate knowledge that's going to bring in more resources, you're going to get more confidence in yourself. And the women are going to see that and they're going to gravitate towards you. You dig? Let me try one more call. One more call, guys. Let's see how this works out. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, what's up? It's Chris. I'm from St. Louis, and I'm in California right now.
Hey, what part of California you in, by the way, Chris?
San Diego.
Okay, you in the military or something, brother?
Nah, man, I just been out here for a minute. Came out here, you know how people do. Get chemistry with my mom, you get out here.
Oh, there you go.
Everybody got fantasies of some happier in California. But anyway, so the reason why I called... I'm just now starting to realize what's going on, man. How the white supremacy. I don't like to call it supremacy. More like supercilious.
You don't like to call it what? Wait. Let's slow down. You don't like to call it what?
I don't like to call it white supremacy. I like to call it white superciliousism.
Super whoism?
The word supercilious. It's a word that means a person feels superior to somebody else.
Supercilious?
Because, you know, supremacy. Right, right. Supercilious.
Okay, I don't even know what that. You keep saying the word, and I can't really catch that word. But the thing is, yeah, don't do that. But when you, because the thing is, trying to minimize the situation, black people have a very big problem doing that. I was doing a lecture.
I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm not trying to minimize it. I think that calling it white supremacy gives it more power than it should have.
Okay,
superciliism just generalizes the idea that a person feels superior, rather than giving the white race the superiority over the oppressed person. You see what I'm saying?
But they already, the word supremacy, brother, they already have power over you. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. But I'm just trying to change the narrative or whatever.
No. Because you want to skip over that. That's a problem. See, black folks play these little word games with themselves. Like, yeah, I know they got power on me, but I just want to feel better.
No, I'm not trying to disillusion myself. That's not the point of it. I'm just trying to find a better word, because I feel like calling it supremacy is something. Now that I'm explaining, I feel like it's getting deeper than I wanted it to be.
That's why we got to hold on to that. Just like if you have sex with somebody and she gives you syphilis and your dick is burning, you can't sit up and say, well, I don't want to call it syphilis. I want to call it fireballs. I like fireballs.
Right, right.
It's the same fucking disease. You understand, brother? It's the same disease. The disease ain't going nowhere. So we got to get off this thing. Let's call it something that sounds better, that makes us feel better. You still dripping. You still got the fireball.
Yeah, maybe it makes me feel better. Yeah, that's true.
Right. So let's get off that. I want to feel better too, but I want to deal with this problem, because the thing is, if we start using different words and trying to...
And that's my point. That's why I call this is for solutions. This is the point of my call.
Go ahead, brother.
So you see how you spoke about the field manual. I think it's 2003,
yeah,
and how the ethnic cleansing field manual.
Yes,
and you got like people like the Proud Boys and the Gab.io situation, where these people are coded up and they know what they're doing.
Yes.
Even if they really don't, they're all going towards the same scenario, because there's Turner Diaries and all this other propaganda that they've been fed through the generations that they've been in the superior a state in society.
That's true.
Place in society.
Yes.
So my point is how do we become the warriors that we should, and how do we coagulate like we should, like everybody else does?
Right.
And if going into politics and stuff, maybe we can do something like that, but it has to be more cohesive, and it has to be more automatic, and we got to use propaganda like they do, and we have to use situations like they do in order to bring ourselves together. And then I think by proxy and hip hop and stuff will get the other culture and everybody else to come with it, just like they do with anything else.
All right. Let me touch on some of the stuff you're saying.
Okay.
Well, how can we counter that? Because you got all these other groups.
Right.
They're coded up. The Proud Boys, all these
like
people.
Like a motherfucker, man. It's scary. It's scary as fuck.
Yeah. And the reason why they coded up is because they're honest with each other. They're very honest with each other. They know that their numbers are dwindling as white supremacists. And among each other, they talk about it. They don't sit up and say shit that's going to make them feel better. They do that around us. They run around us. So, hey,
how do we talk about our numbers?
Listen, brother.
How do we talk about our numbers, though? I don't give a fuck about their numbers. What about our numbers?
I'm giving you.
What about
you,
our senses, so we can see where our warriors are and how.
Brother, I'm trying to give you the game. I'm telling you, I'm giving you the analogy. They understand the truth. They deal with the truth. We don't. Just like when you called in, you didn't want to deal with the truth, and most black folks didn't. We want to say something, not call a spade a spade. And it starts there, being honest with ourselves first. All the problem we have is internal.
But can we change the language after the accountability?
We can do anything after we get back where we need to be, and we've replaced the system with justice.
I guess I was just putting the card in front of the horse, or whatever the thing is.
But in order, you want to say what we do to counter what they're doing, they have something we don't, and that's a code, and we don't have a code. One of their codes is
where it's at, man. How do we get that? I'll put my intellect on the line to get that together. Who else is going to do that with me, though?
Because,
I can't do it by myself.
Well, the thing is, we don't have a code because when it comes to the group, black people as a whole, and being, that's what a code is. What are we going to do to empower the entire group? That's what a code is. We're going
to
say
how many
and
people
do
listen
things.
To that new Gucci
brother,
Mane album
brother,
that came
brother,
out
brother.
You smoke crack, don't you?
We can do
you
it, man.
You smoke crack, don't you?
Brother.
Look at me, boy.
I'm
don't
asking you how,
crack.
Though.
Brother.
We can do it.
Well, you don't listen. But you have to listen. See, that's the thing. A lot of us, when it comes to talking about what needs to be done, cats just want to get shit off their chests. Now we're getting into emotions. You're just getting stuff off your chest, brother. Now, we do need some debriefing.
You know,
I know you're frustrated. Let's get the emotions out of it.
Done, you know?
Let's get the emotions. That's the problem. When it's time to talk about what needs to be done, all of a sudden it gets emotional. Whenever I see town hall meetings, when somebody gets shot and they have a town hall meeting, what happens? You get a bunch of white politicians sitting up there calm and cool, and then all the black people come in and they give them the mic so they can get shit off their chest. Niggas up there yelling and talking and getting shit off their chest. We need to strategize and
speaking
talk.
Speaking of.
We need, no. We ain't about to
take
no,
can
no,
I touch on
no. Go, oh, oh, brother, you all over the place. You all over
smoke
the place.
Don't you?
Oh, brother.
You smoke crack, don't you?
All right, brother.
Look at me, boy. Don't you smoke crack.
This nigga smokes crack.
Yes, sir.
You know what that does to you? Huh?
No, sir.
It kills your brain cells, nigga. That's the problem right there. That is the problem right there. When it comes, cats don't really want no solutions. A lot of folks don't. Let's be real. Black folks, a lot of people, niggas don't really want no solutions. Niggas just want to call up, get some attention, get some shit off their chest. They don't really want no solutions. You can't have a calm conversation. When the minute somebody, I don't want to call the white supremacist, just call something else. All right there, you ain't ready. Right there, you ain't ready. When it's time to talk about what needs to be done, and I'm trying to talk about it in a cool way. No, but man, hey, but let me say this. What happened was, oh, yeah, speaking of that, goodbye. This nigga's all over the place. This nigga's all over the place, and that's the problem. We got black folks who needs to be debriefed. We've been dealing with 400 years of trauma. I get it. We need to be debriefed. We don't have a way to get this shit off of our chests. So whenever people create a forum to talk about solutions, we get a bunch of niggas who haven't been debriefed. Psychologically, they got a lot of emotions pent up and they just want to let you know how they feel. They want to feel better and then they want to ramble and they want to talk about everything under the sun, but they don't want to sit down and rationally talk about what needs to be done. That's why this nigga kept cutting me off. I'm not gonna do that. I ain't going back and forth with it. I'm no. You ask a question and I'm telling you what it is. What I'm saying this though, what I want to do is this, but I feel this way and I want to, I understand that. But, that brings me to another thing. Come on, man. You understand? Niggas don't really want no solutions. That's why in a passive aggressive subconscious way keeps interrupting. Because when we start talking about what needs to be done, then you got to do the shit. You watch niggas like that. When it comes to doing what needs to be done and then you talk about it, then you got to be disciplined enough to do it. A lot of niggas don't want to do anything. That's that, do you love me? Do you love me? That's that type of shit. You dig? And that's going to make you lose all that emotions. Man, I'm just frustrated, man. Fuck that. We need to be off get off that frustration shit. It is what it is. It's time to think. It's time to calm down and think. It's time to relax and think. We need to start calming down. We need to be real cool, real calm, and we need to start thinking. when the white supremacists see that black people are calm, they get real threatened. See, black people think you scare white people by doing all that old rah-rah brute nigga shit. Fuck all that bullshit, goddammit, I'll blow this motherfucker up. You know, white people are so amused. They love niggas who do all that. They love loud, boisterous niggas. They love that. Because they know you ain't gonna do shit, and they know they got you where they want you, because now they can play the victim. Now they can play the victim with your ass. What they don't like a black person who's calm and cool. That's why they hate me. You see, when I talk to them, how cool I am. Not only am I cool, I'm extremely polite. And I do that because it burns them up. Just like Dr. Fuller and Dr. Welsing said, you should be the most polite person in the room when dealing with the white supremacists. That's a strategy. When I'm having a debate or a conversation with the white supremacists and it's time to get in on them, I'm hella cool, hella calm, hella rational, and extremely polite. Even when they start trolling, because usually when they start trolling and name calling, they expect you to do the same. That's their way of baiting you and getting you emotional. They'll say something like, look, you're acting like an idiot, sir. Fuck all that. You call me an idiot, motherfucking cracker. I ain't no goddamn idiot. You know, then they got you. Oh, my God. Look at him. He's black and he's angry. Look at him. See, when they try that with me, I play the victim. Oh, sir, I don't do name calling, sir. I don't want to be called names. I'm here to just bring truth to power. I don't know what the name calling is about. And when you go that route, they already lost and they know that. I had a white supremacist apologize to me the other day. We were talking about the fight. We were talking about the Wilder Fury fight. And this, what is he? He's some guy. He's over in the UK, some kind of media guy. And we were going back and forth on Twitter about the fight because, you know, I talked about how the Tyson Fury guy, he was actually knocked out. And they kept talking about how he was robbed from winning and all this bullshit, and I said what I had to say. I'm like, I gave my opinion about it, and the white supremacist got a little frustrated, and he was like, well, you're an idiot who don't know nothing about boxing. I said, sir, I don't do name calling. And this ain't about race. I said, sir, I haven't said anything about race. I haven't mentioned one thing about the race of the people. Sir, I don't do name calling. I'm not, sir, you're race baiting, sir. Then I went into victim mode on his ass. Sir, why are you race baiting me? I don't know why you're race baiting me. I'm talking about skill, fight. Then after a while, I apologize for my exchange earlier. They hate that. Because I'm telling the truth about that fight. See, usually the white supremacists, they like using the I'm white and I say so, and I don't let them use that on me. I like to do my own research, and I was talking about that fight. They did a slow count on that fight. That Tyson Fury guy, he was fighting Wilder, and Wilder didn't do a good job. Wilder was swinging all over the place, but he did knock this motherfucker down twice, and the second time he actually knocked him out. If you look at that fight, Tyson Fury was knocked out for a few seconds. He was gone. And that ref basically threw him a bone. The fight was a draw, but that should have been a knockout. Not only did he knock this motherfucker smooth out, you can see on the slow motion where the dude literally woke up from being knocked out. Then he stammered to his feet after the 10 count. Then when he got on his feet, he had some more seconds to get it together. The ref made sure to let him come to. So he was thrown a bone. He was thrown a bone by the ref, and they know it. The white supremacists know it, but that's their great white hope. So, you know, God bless them. God bless them. But the fact that I wasn't going for the I'm white and I say so narrative, and I stuck to my guns, because that's the thing. They like punking black people by trying to question your intellect. They kept saying shit like, well, you don't know, you're dumb and don't know nothing about boxing. I'm like, where are your boxing credentials, sir? I know something about counting, and I know that this dude had 16, 17 seconds to get it together. I know that they threw him a bone. So you got to be like that on them. You got to be real cool, real calm, real rational. That burns the white supremacist soul to see black people calm and rational, because that means you're thinking. That means they can't read you when you're all emotional like this dude. He had his emotions on his sleeves. You already know how to deal with this dude. When you're calm and you're rational, they don't know what angle to come at you with. They don't know how to read you. They don't know what's popping with you. And that's how you gotta be. Because these white supremacists have waged warfare, and warfare is about strategy, and counter warfare and counter racism is about strategy and emotionless tactics. You got to take that emotion out the game, family. Anyway, man, let me get up out of here. Y'all, I don't think I'm going to take any more calls tonight. Shit, I've been here. Oh, it's an hour and 30 minutes. I've been chopping up with y'all for a minute. But anyway, let me get up out of here. Get the North Sentinel Island shirts, family. Get the North Sentinel Island shirts right now at hiddencolorsfilm.com. You will get the shirts. You order tonight, we're mailing them out in the morning. You order tonight, we mail out in the morning. You're going to get your shirts before Christmas. These shirts are limited edition. They're only going to be available for a couple of weeks. After the holidays, no more. So these are limited edition shirts. Get your shirts now. The North Sentinel Island University shirts right now at hiddencolorsfilm.com right now. And all my Atlanta people, I will be in Atlanta with my group, Mink Slide. We're going to be rocking the house. Get your tickets right now at minkslide.com. We're doing a concert with the APX down in Atlanta at the Center Stage Theater Saturday, December 22nd. I want to see all my Atlanta family in the house. We're going to have a good time. I will holler at you guys this Sunday. Y'all